Well, turn please in God's Word to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. We're going to read the verses 35 through to 37. Mark chapter 12, verses 35 through to 37. Mark 12, verse 35. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou in my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool.' David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. We'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come around his word. Let us seek the Lord's face together, please. Our gracious Father, thank thee that as we come around the word that in our time of need, that we can come and seek thy face that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in this time of need. Lord, we ask of thee that thou wilt be pleased to take the scriptures of truth and write them upon every heart. Lord, we pray today that these words that were so mysterious to the Jews, that they will be full of truth and preciousness to us as God's people. We pray for any among us who have never experienced the power of the words that are before us. Well, Lord, we pray that even today that they will turn from darkness to light. Today that they will come in saving faith to the Lord. Oh, grant us thy help, we pray. Come, Lord, and minister to every heart. We pray in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. Over recent weeks, we have seen the Lord's wisdom in answering various questions that were posed by religious leaders, by the Pharisees, Herodians, the Sadducees. So the Lord showed great wisdom in all of his answers. Today I want to see that the Lord also showed great wisdom in a question. So the Lord had not only wisdom in answering, but the Lord showed great wisdom in asking a question. Now the enemies of the Lord had failed to perplex the Lord. And in every trap that they set, the Lord ended up exposing the folly of the religious leaders of that time and exposing their schemes. And yet while these men could not perplex the Lord in their questions, they certainly were greatly perplexed in the question that the Lord asked them. Their questions were really a diversion from the chief matter at hand. They asked about taxation. They asked about relationships in the resurrection. But the Lord asked a question that was the most pertinent issue in that day. And it is still the most pertinent issue of our day. Who is Christ? Who is the Messiah? In Matthew's account of this scene, we read that Christ asked in Matthew 22:42, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And the scribes, they continuously taught, as the Lord showed here, that Christ was the son of David. And that, of course, was part of the answer to that particular question. Christ, the Messiah, was the son of David. And as people then were waiting for the Messiah, this was a title that they could use. Remember how Bartimaeus, as he sat by the wayside And as he called to the Lord, even though the people called him Jesus of Nazareth, he said, Son of David. Or we can think of that Canaanite woman, though living in the region of Tyre and Sidon, a Gentile region. She obviously had been exposed to the Old Testament scriptures. And thinking of her demon-possessed daughter, she cried out, Have mercy on me, O thou son of David. And so the Old Testament did prophesy that Messiah would be the son of David. And that surely signified that he would be of the line of David. And also that various characteristics of David would be seen in a greater way in the Messiah. So as David was a shepherd, the Messiah would be a great shepherd. As David was a warrior, the greatest warrior would be Christ. As David had that great reign, as David conquered his enemies, so there would be this illustrious reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Jews have got part of the answer correct. The Messiah is the son of David. But they have failed, so many of them, to grasp this, that the Old Testament scriptures also taught that the Messiah is the Son of God. He is the son of David, and yet he is the Son of God. He would not only be man, but he would be God. God manifest in the flesh. And so the Lord asked this question then in Mark chapter 12 and the verse 35 at the end of the verse. How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou in my right hand. In verse 37, David therefore himself calleth him Lord. That is, David calls this one that would come of him Lord, the son of David. David calls the son of David Lord. Whence is he then his son? And this was a question then that would greatly perplex these religious leaders. How can David speak of one who will come after him? One who would be his son, how can David call him his Lord? The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand. Now in Psalm 110, when we have those words, the Lord said unto my Lord, the first word Lord there, the Lord said, is in capitals in our authorized version. That is, it is the Hebrew word Jehovah. Jehovah said unto my Lord. And the word, the second word translated Lord, is the Hebrew word Adonai. Jehovah said unto Adonai, or Jehovah, the covenant keeping God, said unto my master. And God then was speaking to the Messiah. The Messiah then having this title, Adonai, or Master. Now, as this question was asked, how could the son of David be David's Lord? No man was able to answer him a word, we read in Matthew 22. To them, this was a riddle. To them, it was a mystery. And it is a mystery in the New Testament sense of that word. It's a mystery that has been concealed for many. But then it's a mystery that is revealed to the child of God. Because this Messiah was born of David's line. But this Messiah was already in existence in David's day. And so even then in David's day, he could speak of this one that was yet to be born. He is my Lord, because he is the eternal Son of God. And so Messiah did not commence when he was conceived in the womb of Mary. He has always been.
He is the eternal Son of God. And here is the key then.
The Messiah is David's son, but he is also God's eternal son. And therefore he was David's Lord. David's son, and yet David's Lord at the very same time.
As we think of that question, what think ye of Christ?
Whose son is he?
This is a question that every individual must face. It's a question that the religious need to face. For as the Lord asked the question, the Pharisees were gathered there. And Matthew places it in that context. What think ye of Christ, whose son is he? And therefore, the religious leaders must answer this question. But then Mark tells us at the end of verse 37, the common people heard him gladly. And so as the Lord asked this question, what think ye of Christ, whose son is he? It was a question not only for the religious leaders. It was a question for the common people. It was a question for the ordinary people. And this then is a question that you must face up to. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? No matter whether you're an older person or a young child, here's a question for you. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? Psalm 110 is one of the most important portions in the Bible on the person of Christ, this anointed one. And so it's quoted many times and alluded to many times in the New Testament. And certainly that psalm itself would be good for us to come some time to look at. But today we're really looking at the verse 1 as the Lord quoted from it in this particular portion in Mark chapter 12. And we're looking here at the subject of Christ and his throne. And as we think of Christ and his throne, I want us to think of Messiah and the eternal decree. The Messiah and the eternal decree. For we have these words in verse 36. David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. And it's the same in Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, Jehovah said to Adonai. Now when David spoke these words by the Holy Ghost, the Messiah had not yet come. And as we'll see in a moment or two, the exaltation that is spoken of here was that exaltation following on from the resurrection and ascension. And other New Testament portions make that absolutely clear. And yet, while these words speak of an enthronement that was yet future, as far as David's time was concerned, David did not say, the Lord will say to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Though, of course, that is true. But David said, the Lord said, the Lord has already said to the Messiah, to Adonai, sit thou at my right hand. And this is showing us then that in eternity past, there was a great council between the three persons in the Godhead. And in this great communication, the Father then said to the Son, in this eternal decree, sit thou at my right hand. And there was then this decree. There will be a great coming glorification, a great honouring of the Son of God. All three persons of the Trinity then were involved in this. The Father was there. The Lord said to my Lord. The Father spoke. The Son heard the words, but then the Holy Ghost was also there. Because in Mark 12, it says in verse 36, David himself said, by the Holy Ghost. How did the Holy Ghost know that this was said? Because the Holy Spirit was there as well in eternity past.
And so in eternity past, there was this great eternal council, as our confession speaks of this eternal decree. And there's something else for us here to notice about the Godhead, because in Psalm 110, it's Jehovah said to Adonai. But in Mark, we have the words here in the Greek language. And in Greek, the word for Lord is Kyrios. It's interesting then when the Lord referred to this, he said in verse 36, the Lord Kyrios said to my Lord Kyrios. And so though there is a distinction in the original Hebrew, Jehovah said to Adonai, in the Greek New Testament, it's Kyrios said to my Kyrios, the Lord said to my Lord. And there is then in the Greek this idea of equality. The very same title that is used in the Greek New Testament to describe the Father is then taken and used in this text to describe the Son. There is this equality. And that equality surely is reflected in the very words the Father is speaking. Jehovah said to Adonai, sit thou at my right hand. You come and take this place of honour. And take this great place of privilege. Be here in this place of equality. And yet while there is that equality, while there is this being brought to our attention, there is also a distinction. The Father said to the Son, and as the Father spoke to the Son, the words were witnessed by the Holy Spirit, and so there is one God, and yet there are three distinct persons in that Godhead, co-equal, equal in power and glory, and yet distinct. What I'm seeking to emphasize today is this. There was this eternal decree. Sit thou at my right hand. And God would see to it then that what he decreed in eternity would be accomplished. Now thinking about this then in the time context of Mark chapter 12. There was only a short time to go before Christ would be at the Father's right hand. It was only a very short time before this psalm would be fulfilled in that particular aspect. The Pharisees were plotting for Christ's destruction. They were seeking to have the Lord silenced. They were seeking him to have him destroyed. And the Lord now was standing before them. And surely his claim was something like this. I am the Messiah. I am that Christ, that anointed one of Psalm 110. God's decree will come to pass. He was saying, here am I am that Messiah. And all your plans will not frustrate the eternal decree of God. That as God had said in eternity to the Son, sit thou at my right hand, all the schemes of men could not frustrate the plan of Almighty God. And even more remarkably, perhaps, the very schemes and enmity of those Jewish leaders would be one of the means that God would use to see his decree fulfilled. You think of those great words in Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Why was Jesus Christ on the cross? Because it was God's eternal plan. The cross was no accident of history. It was not, as some teach, God's second plan. Not at all. The cross was God's determinate counsel. Peter, as he said those words, he said, him being delivered by that determinate counsel, ye have taken up by wicked hands of slain And the very wrath and enmity that those Jewish leaders had, it would not frustrate God's decree, but rather God would take it to see that his decree would be fulfilled. And this is great relevance for every Christian in this meeting this morning. For God has seen to it that his Son is at his right hand. And today then in glory, the Son sits at the Father's right hand. This great prophecy, this great decree has been fulfilled. And what does that mean for you, dear child of God? That you are represented there. That is, the Father has the Son seated at the right hand of God. So then, there is a very real sense in which today, dear Christian, you are at the Father's right hand. Ephesians 1 verse 20, it says there, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. And so when the Lord was resurrected and the Lord was ascended, he was made to sit there at the Father's right hand. And then in chapter 2 of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And when the Lord resurrected you from the dead, in that sense, he raised you from being a dead sinner to one who is a partaker of eternal life. The Lord has raised you up and you're seated there in glory at the Father's right hand in Christ. And as Christ is there representing you, your position is very clearly there. And how come you're there? You're there because of God's purpose. You're there because of God's decree. For I said those great words in Psalm 110 were God's decree. But in Matthew 24, we read of that future day when the sheep will be taken out from among the goats. There will be this severance, this separation. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Matthew 25, verse 34, the Lord will speak to his sheep, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And there will come that time then when in the fullest sense we will be there at the Father's right hand. And the Lord says we'll be there because of that decree. From the foundation of the world. And isn't that a marvellous thought then today as we think of Messiah and his eternal decree? We have been chosen. And as the Lord then has seen to it that his Son is honoured, the Lord will see to it that all that is prophesied concerning the child of God will be fulfilled as well. So we see the Messiah and his eternal decree. But I want to see then the Messiah and his impending dignity. For the Father said to the Son, sit thou at my right hand. And as there is this prophecy then, this quotation in verse 36, sit thou at my right hand. The Lord was speaking these words, and he was speaking them with that sense that in a very short time, these words are going to have a beautiful fulfillment. Now, I should emphasize that Christ was always, has always been from all eternity, the Father's delight. Isaiah 42 verse 1, behold my servant whom I hold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. When did the Father start delighting in the Son? Never. Because he's always delighted in us. So the Son is eternally the focus of the Father's delight. So there was never a commencement. Proverbs 8:23, the Lord there speaks under the title of wisdom. It's wisdom personified as Christ himself. Proverbs 8:23, I was set up from everlasting. Or I was set up from eternity. That is, Christ is the eternally begotten
He didn't begin. He has always been the begotten Son. He's eternally begotten Son of God. In Proverbs 8 verse 30, "Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight."
And even in eternity past, before the foundation, the Father delighted in the Son. And yet there was to be this honouring. And so Jehovah said to Adonai, "Sit thou at my right hand." And there had to be then the incarnation. There had to be the crucifixion. There had to be the resurrection. There had to be the ascension.
If you look with me in Acts chapter 2, and we have another one of these occasions when Psalm 110 is quoted in the New Testament, and certainly would be a very profitable study for you to look at all of those quotations of Psalm 110 verse 1 in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, and in the verse 32, and Peter speaks of the Lord's resurrection. "This Jesus hath God raised up." He has been resurrected. And then verse 33, "Therefore being by the right hand of God exalted," he is not only risen, but he is also ascended. And he is at the right hand of God exalted. Now Peter then takes this Psalm 110, and he says in verse 34, "For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand." Verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." And what is Peter saying? That Psalm 110 verse 1 had a fulfillment when Christ ascended to glory. When Christ ascends to glory, he sat at the Father's right hand. And the Father then was saying to him, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." There was then that glorious fulfillment on the day of our Lord's ascension. So he was eternally honored. But there was this very special honor that took place at the time of the Lord's ascension. And that's why I say to you then that as the Lord said these words, we have this impending dignity. The Lord was saying, "I'm standing before you now. I'm standing here in my humiliation in flesh and about to be nailed to the cross, about to endure all those sufferings that surround the cross." But oh, so soon the Lord was saying, "I'll be seated there in my flesh at the right hand of God." The right hand, it speaks of dignity. You remember how Solomon placed his mother Bathsheba at the right hand, and it has this idea of special honor. Special dignity. Hebrews 1 verse 3. It speaks there of the Lord having purged us. He sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high. To be in the right hand is in that place of honour. Hebrews 8 verse 1. We have an high priest who is set in the right hand of the throne of the majesty. In the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And there is then this special honour. And it's an honour then that was to be reserved for Christ when he would appear in flesh in glory. You see, from all eternity, the Lord was there in glory. He was honoured. But he was not in flesh. But when he ascended up in that body. He appears in glory in the flesh, as what sometimes referred to as the God-man. God manifest in flesh. And he's at the Father's right hand. He's in that place of honour. You think then of this context of Mark chapter 12. Christ was despised. Every honor was, or every effort was being made to dishonor him. Every effort was being made to destroy him. And men were seeking to take from Christ the honor that was due to him only, and have it for themselves. Because if you look at Mark 12, and the words that follow in verse 38, he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. And remember, the question was, how say the scribes that Christ is the Son of God? Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief places in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts. And the scribes then conveniently would have Christ only as the Son of David, because they wanted the special honour that was rightly and deservedly only Christ's to be theirs. So here was this effort to dishonour Christ, to strip him of his glory. The Lord said, you think of that, Sam. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. The Lord was saying, despite all your schemes, I will be honored. Despite all your schemes, there will be that great dignity for the Messiah as he ascends up. And I want you to see then today that as the Lord was quoting these words, he was speaking of something that was impending. He wasn't looking to something that is yet in the distant future, but something that has already been fulfilled now. You see, Christ is not in glory today, waiting to be honored by the Father. Christ is honored already. Christ is not in glory waiting to become king. He is king already upon the throne. Christ is not there waiting to return that he might become king. He is returning as king. And this then is of great relevance to you, dear child of God, this morning. Christ is on the throne. And as you are distracted, as you're distressed over the darkness of this day, as you're distressed over the failings of human governments and how great are those failings, we're to take our eyes off all of that and get our eyes to the throne. Christ is on the throne. The Lord has said, sit thou in my right hand. And the Lord is there in the right hand. The Lord is in that place of dignity. He is in that place of governance. He is in that place of dominion. You think of Stephen. I remember how, as he was about to be stoned to death, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And remember how then Stephen said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. How was it that Stephen died in great confidence? He didn't die in confidence because of his faithfulness. He didn't die in confidence because he was a martyr for the right cause. He died in confidence because he saw Christ was on the throne. And as he saw that Christ was on the throne, Christ was his hope, he then had this great assurance he would inherit what was his. Remember how in Matthew 25 and the verse 34, as there will be that severance, the Lord will set the sheep on the right hand. And then verse 34, the king will say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And I want you to notice what the Lord will say to us. Come ye blessed. Come ye blessed. Jehovah said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Come and have this dignity, this honor placed upon you. And so then the Lord is going to say to us, you're the blessed. blessed of the Father. But then he will say, inherit the kingdom. Here is your great inheritance. And oh then today that we could see how insignificant, how unimportant is our earthly inheritance. We have that great inheritance in glory. And the Lord then will say to us, come, inherit the kingdom. And surely these words then, they ought to be a great comfort to the child of God, as Christ is honored. What a glorious present is ours. And what a glorious future is ours. But for the one that's outside of Christ, this ought to drive terror into your heart. You look with me in Psalm 110. In Psalm 110. And we're going to come look at this again next Lord's Day. I had wanted to speak at length on this, but I'll leave it until next Lord's Day. In Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And the Lord then, the Father said to the Son, you sit there. And as we've been seeing, the New Testament elsewhere, it shows that Satan took place at the Lord's ascension. So at the Lord's ascension, the Father said, you sit there until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Because on then in verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And the rod does have this idea of power. And the Lord then today, he has that rod. He has that authority. He has that power. And for some, that power has been experienced in our conversion. Verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You see, when the Lord saved you, you didn't come with your feet dragging behind you. Yes, before that, your feet were dragging. You resisted. You wouldn't come. Then the Lord makes his people willing. And the sinner, as his eyes are opened, he gladly comes. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And the Lord is bringing people then on account of the rod. The Lord shall send the rod out of thy strength, the rod of thy strength out of Zion. And the Lord then, as he rose from the dead and he ascended into glory, rise thine into glory from Jerusalem, out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. The Lord is ruling today. He is in that throne. People are being made willing in the day of his power. What for those then that will not come under that rod? What for those that will not bow at the feet of Christ? Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. If you won't bow today at the feet of Christ in contrition, you will feel those feet one day treading upon you. If you won't bow at those feet, calling upon the Lord for mercy and resting upon the work, the finished work of Christ. If you not be those feet, then you'll feel those feet one day crushing you. Oh, today, may you come to Christ. Do not be in the number of the enemies of the foes. But believe rather in that number, be in that number that are seated at the right hand of God. We'll bow together, please, in prayer.